Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl, explore your world, live it fast, and make it last.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Duretti Reynolds, Hightower Advisors of Westchester, Fixed Rate Power, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Thank you, Mixmaster Matt. And don't forget, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too, Westchester Talk Radio. And now the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and we're welcome to it. It's Fran's World. And now here's your host, Fran Capo.
Yay! Woo! How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Well, thank you, Jim. Long time I haven't seen you and Matt. 24 hours. Okay, so just a quick recap on what I've been doing since I saw you last. First of all, Happy New Year. Okay, I know it's a little late, but you know, whatever. It's Happy New Year since I've seen you. And I was actually in Jamaica, okay, not Queens. Jamaica, the island, and it was beautiful weather, but what was really cool, I went bobsled riding in Jamaica, no snow, but the other cool thing about it was I got stuck on a chairlift, okay, and I'm over there, I'm like, oh, you know what, we could climb onto the tree and we could figure out a way to get down. I'm creating this whole like movie scenario in my head, and my husband's going, we're not jumping off the ski lift. I go, no, no, look, it's only 10 feet, and all of a sudden the Jamaican guy comes up. He goes, no, man, no, please, don't jump, don't jump. I go, no, no, look how easy it is. He goes, you only be stuck for 1.5 hour, don't jump. And I was like, oh, man, it could have been a whole movie. But anyway, so that's what I did. We just had a successful comedy show at Taramina's Comedy Club that I book once a month. And tomorrow night, if anybody's out on Long Island, I will be doing a fundraiser at a firehouse in East Islip at 30 East Main Street. Like I said, in East Islip. The doors open at 6 o'clock, and I'll be going on stage at 8 p.m. The other comics with me are Rick Morgan, Paul Bond, Boyd, Frank Fella, and myself. It's a fun night, and it's to raise money for the fire department out there. And now we have a great show lined up for you. I have two exciting guests who are very passionate about what they do and literally have done things to not only change their lives, but to change other people's lives as well. So I am going to tell you about my first guest. She is a civil trial lawyer, has been 23 years in recovery from anorexia and bulimia. Besides changing people's lives by the decisions of the law, she decided to change her own life and help others by becoming an advocate for loving yourself and your body from the inside out. She believes the size of your life is not defined by the size of your body, which is her message. She's fantastic. I was talking to her off camera, off radio, whatever you want to call it. And she took her body from down to a size 2 when she used to be a 26 wide. Now you think you're talking about a truck? No, she was big. She made herself small. Why? Because she loved herself and she learned to learn about appreciating her body and accepting it. So she wanted to be able to help other people do the same thing that she did. So she made her life an open book. And what better way to make your life an open book than to actually write a book. So that's what she did. And Matt, give me that book. She wrote a book called The Size of My Life. He's over there stealing it, the engineer. He's stealing my work here, okay? And it's called The Size of My Life. And if you're watching live stream, you could actually see a copy of the book. And her mantra is, the size of my life is not defined by the size of my body, but knowing how to express your feelings and your heart. So, Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Fran. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Now, Karen Signa is how you pronounce your last name?
Yes, correct. My grandfather chose to Americanize than to have the Italian pronunciation.
Okay, there you are. But it still ended in a vowel. So we still
there
know
you
you're Italian. Okay, that's how I know I'm Italian. It ends in a vowel.
Correct.
Okay, not that I have to constantly ask myself. But so, Karen, so let me ask you something. You see, basically, you have two careers. Okay,
yes.
You're a civil trial lawyer and you're a self-esteem author, which is what I would call you. So what do you feel are the two similarities, how you got drawn to both of that?
I think I like to talk, which I guess being the fastest talking woman that you are, you could appreciate that.
Of course.
So I love talking to juries and working with juries, you know, going through the selection process, because you're talking to people and you're finding out about them. And as I recovered from an eating disorder, which basically started out as chronic dieting, I realized that I wanted to share that experience with other people, because I hate to think how lonely and in what pain I was when I just thought I was insane, trapped in this food, body, and weight obsession. I wanted to let other people know they weren't alone and that there was a way out.
And you know what? And the best thing is you were a model for that, because if you were able to do it, it's not like you're just telling somebody, hey, do this, and then they say, well, have you tried? And you go, well, no, but I heard it was a good idea. So you actually know the emotions behind it, tried many different methods, you found what worked for you, and then you're able to share it from a place of heart, a place that you truly were, and say to people, look, if I could do it, you could do it.
No, you're correct. Especially, you know, it's interesting because, again, I don't just focus on the eating disorder with discussing this, because unfortunately, you know, you can meet so many perfectly thin women who are still unhappy with their body size. They're complaining about their thighs or their stomach or their arms. So having been to the place where I had, you know, whittled myself by starving down to a size 2, I know about that. I was still not happy with my body. And then having went all the way up, because I turned to binging, I know what it's like to be obese. I know what it's like to go on a plane and not have the seatbelt fit, to not be able to fit into the theater seat. So my message is that I had to really learn to love myself. I wasn't loving myself at a size 2 because I didn't feel good about myself. It wasn't the body size and being thin couldn't fix me, because I still didn't know myself or feel good about myself.
You know, see, there's a couple of things I want to say about that. Did you ever see that picture where they show a little kitten looking into a mirror and the
yes.
reflection is the lion?
Yes.
So even though it's a little kitten, he's looking in the mirror, but he sees himself as a lion. Reversely, it could have been a lion looking in the mirror and seeing a tiny little kitten.
Right.
So it's all your perception of what it is. You could walk up to somebody and go, you look great, but if they don't feel that they do, or they're not, don't have the self-esteem or the confidence in themselves, it doesn't matter what the outside people say.
Totally.
It's a matter. So it's, you almost have to be learn to be your own best cheerleader.
Exactly. I totally believe that. You know, we have become our own worst enemies. I mean, I don't even think if we had enemies, we would treat them as meanly. People walk around saying, I'm so fat, I'm disgusting, I gotta lose weight, what's wrong with me, I'm ugly, you know. We wouldn't let someone talk to us as badly as we talk to ourselves.
And I think that's one of your tips that you had said, because your self-talk is very important. You know, I was thinking about this because, and this is a little bit on a different subject, but it fits along the lines. It's like when you have somebody pass over in your life, right?
Yes.
And they die and you say, oh, that person dies. You have one feeling. But if you say that person left to be with God, that is a different feeling, yet the same event happened.
Definitely.
So it is all the self-talk and the words that you use. Instead of saying, I have a problem, if you say, I have a challenge that I'm facing, that changes it. It changes the dynamics, because there are certain words that we're used to growing up with and we have an attachment to those words. So you're basically telling people, change your inner dialogue to
Definitely.
Yourself, and you will change your outward, you know, feeling.
Positively. And I think that that's what gets in people's way. If somebody actually has a problem with food, whether they're just, you know, overweight or they're anorexic or they have an eating disorder, or again, they're just a person who can't stay on a diet, you need to look at yourself and say, this is where I am today. Somehow I got to this weight because of all my experiences that have come before, because of certain decisions I made. But as of today, I'm going to accept where I am and try to move on from there. Everyone goes on a diet and they want to have lost the 50 pounds by yesterday.
Yep.
You know, and they're miserable every day. But if you start saying, you know what, I'm going to treat myself better today, and every decision I make, I'm going to keep making better decisions, it's such a different perception, and it encourages you. Whereas when you say, I'm going to go on a diet, it's going to be horrible, I'm going to be miserable, you want to go out and eat a box of donuts right away.
You want to do that right away because you feel like you're going to be punishing yourself for the next time instead of saying, wow, I'm going to be... Well, it's just like if somebody says, I'm going to lose 100 pounds, and then they lose 2 pounds, and they go, oh, only 2 pounds. Well, how do you think you get to that goal? You have
right.
to do it a little bit at a time, but you have to be able to reward yourself, and not with a donut. But I mean, you have to reward yourself by saying, hey, I did a good job today. I lost 2 pounds or whatever. Now, you also had mentioned in the book, looking at a model and going, wow, I wish I were her. And you don't know what that woman's life is like.
Exactly.
So why would you wish you were her? Maybe she looks good, but maybe she, you know, has a miserable marriage because of it, or maybe she, you know, has to, you know, she's throwing up in the bathroom every day because of it. You don't know. So never wish to be somebody else. Wish to be the best you could be.
I agree 100%. And it's interesting because, you know, I blog a lot. I write on Facebook. I have a Facebook page called Size of My Life where I write every day.
And what's your blog? Is the same? It's,
and then I have a website called www.sizeofmylife.com.
Size of My Life, even though the book is called The Size of Life, of My Life, the website is called Size of My Life without
Correct.
The word the, just so you
right.
know.
Right. And sometimes... lots of times I've gotten backlash where people will say, what are you talking about size acceptance? People are obese, they're unhealthy, or people are anorexic,
but that's not
they're
what you're
unhealthy.
Saying.
But exactly, I'm saying, you know, like when I was 266 pounds and decided at that weight, I can't go through the self-hatred anymore. I can't be body bashing myself. People were looking at me and they were probably thinking she's so unhealthy, but there was no more bulimia, there was no more starving, there was no more compulsive eating. I was starting to become healthier. So my outside might not have reflected it, but inside,
right.
exactly, yeah, I was becoming healthier. So exactly, a thin model can be bulimic, or a thin model can be fine. Again, this
right.
is not...
it's not a judgment.
We're not judging.
Right, exactly.
But it's about where are you with food and body? What are you having a sane relationship with food and yourself?
Now, you had mentioned getting hungry is not a bad thing. We need to trust our hunger, but you said food does have a morality. So, what is the morality with food that you have to do? And also, as we're wrapping up, just what would be a tip that you would give somebody if they had to walk away with one tip that you can give them?
I mean, as far with the one tip that I would give somebody is that, you know, loving yourself from the inside out is what's going to help you. I mean, I graduated law school. That day I was worried about my body. I couldn't even accept what I had achieved. So really try to see that you're more than your body, your sense of humor, your smile, your special talents. And as far as food, I was saying that you shouldn't give it a morality, bad food versus good food, and try to trust your hunger. Yeah, if you just sat down and ate 2 bags of potatoes, chips, there's a problem. You better check in with yourself. But if you haven't eaten a few hours, it's normal to be hungry. Feed yourself. Listen to your body. We were born knowing when we were hungry, and when we were full, we pushed the bottle away.
Yes. And so now, if you want to pick up her book, which again is called The Size of My Life, you can go to her website, which is www.sizeofmylife.com, and it's very down to earth. The first chapter says, what the hell is this book about? So, I mean, just right there, you know she's going to be down to earth.
And the ebook is on Amazon.com.
So it's in paperback and it's in ebook format. And, you know, you read this book, it'll give you inspiration. And usually what happens is once you get your mind in place and your soul in place, then everything else follows. And Karen is the perfect example of that. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I hope many people go out there and buy the book. Buy the book if you're concerned about, you know, your weight. You want to, you know, just get your head wrapped around it in the right way. The size of my life. This is Fran Capo on Fran's World, and you're listening to Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you, Fran. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With seven metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today.
You'd probably rather use that extra cash for that bathroom remodel, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit ReversoAssociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
An independent lifestyle with a little less work and a little less worry. It's what you want, right? Wartburg offers independent and assisted living, along with specialized memory care for those with Alzheimer's or dementia. From adult daycare and home care to inpatient and outpatient rehab, shorter long-term care, and much more, the services Wartburg offers are all backed by our 150-year reputation of providing quality care to seniors. Call to learn more, 914-699-0800, or visit wartburg.org. Wartburg, named one of the best nursing homes in New York State in 2017 by U.S. News & World Report.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl, explore your world, live it fast, and make it last.
And Welcome back. You're listening to Fran's World. We're on Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Rentals, Hightower Advisors of Westchester, and Fix Rate Power. Don't forget to download the app at the Westchester Talk Radio on iTunes at Westchester Talk. And now back to Fran's World, and I am excited for my next guest. My next guest, actually, I met at a workshop that she was giving on mindful filmmaking. And I didn't know what to expect, was blown away by her work and the fantastic tips on filmmaking that she was giving. And I wanted to introduce her to my audience. So let me give you a little bit of her credits because they're very impressive. So Elise Neiman Sider is an Emmy Award-winning TV producer and filmmaker from New York City. She's directed, produced, shot, and supervised TV shows for 15 years for many networks, including MTV, Travel Channel, HGTV, TLC, and the Food Network. After a cancer diagnosis at age 36, she realized that what was truly important to her, and she began by making her health and wellness and starting a meditation practice and changing the way she eats and lives. Last year, she launched Mindful Films, a nonprofit initiative focused on telling personal stories of struggle and hardship as a way to share her wisdom and promote her healing. So please welcome Elise Neiman Sider. Elise, you're on the phone. How you doing?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Fran. Okay, I'm happy to be here.
Great. Thanks. And this is just very free-flowing, so if you can't hear me, just speak up. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I know right now you're on set because you're actually working, so I appreciate that you're taking the time out to be able to, you know, do this interview because you're very busy. I try to track you down. I'm like, where is she now? What country is she in? Who is she interviewing? So it's amazing. Now, you have been producing and directing films for 15 years, right?
Yes, right.
So can you name some of the films or some of the types of films that you were working on?
Sure. Well, by trade, I've professionally been a TV producer and a supervising producer for many years, working on shows ranging from The Next Food Network Star to MTV's documentary show True Life for many years, to their show called Made, House Hunters International. I've worked on TLC shows and all sorts of different shows. So I've kind of been in the freelance world for a long time, but, you know, I'm really a storyteller. So on my own time, I produce and shoot and create short films that have meaningful content. So that's something I'm looking to do more of.
Now, when you're saying the meaningful content, there was actually something that happened in your life that created that shift, correct? Like when you got diagnosed, hit with that diagnosis, basically, of cancer. And do you mind talking about what it was like and how you dealt with it and how you feel that you changed that moment, changed your view on the world?
Sure. So a couple years ago, when I was 36, I was diagnosed with a really rare form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was told pretty much in the same breath that I was given that name that it wasn't fatal and that it was slow growing. So I was like, okay, so what is this thing? And, you know, there was a period of time, I think the most defining moment of this kind of health story for me was a period of time of about 6 weeks where none of the oncologists knew exactly what it was. They found that eventually it was this type of thing. It required some immunotherapy treatment, which I went through, and I'm completely cancer-free now.
Congratulations.
But I think, which is great, but I think what, you know, the darkness of a pre-diagnosis when you really don't know what's going on, it's really scary. It's unnerving. It's like having the rug pulled out from under you. But over time, that darkness of a crisis really leads to light and wisdom, and making you really appreciate the things in your life that you have. And so for me, the things that were important to me kind of rose up and everything else just fell away. And for me, the most important things were, you know, my relationships with my family and my closest friends, not taking my health for granted, you know, working on making meaningful content that moved people, that made people feel something, that told stories that weren't told. So that shift has really kind of defined a new path in my life over the last several years.
So now when you made, so your first Mindful, and I just want to, if people go to your website, which we'll be
sure.
talking about later, it is MindFuL, just one L, just so people know that.
Yes.
Okay. But, who was the first person that you did a Mindful film about? Who was this, and what was the subject?
Sure. Well, so I just said my website is mindfulfilms.org, if anyone's interested in going to. And just to explain, so Mindful Films came about, the seeds were planted in my early work on MTV's True Life. That's where I was really with people in these vulnerable moments, and they felt really safe, and they had a really therapeutic experience because I was there, which was a really eye-opening experience for me. Just me being present and witnessing their vulnerable moment was really empowering for my subjects, and that's where I first kind of got this idea of, wow, I really can make an impact on people's lives by just being with them and filming them during a hard moment. And then, of course, when I went through my own health experience, I also kind of started documenting it in a new way and using film as this therapeutic tool.
When you say you documented it, you mean like you actually sat down with a camera and would sit in front of it and then just say how you felt?
No, you know, for me, I mean, to be honest, as a filmmaker, I'm not usually in front of the camera, so I'm more comfortable behind the camera.
Okay.
But what I started doing was I started having these dreams of these clips I had filmed of my kids on my phone, and I dreamed of a certain piece of music, and I dreamed of, like, something I wanted to say. And so this film was kind of forming itself in my mind in those first couple weeks after finding out that this happened, that I had this. And I realized that, you know, I had this story that was unfolding, and I had a craft through which I could really tell the story. What the first, I guess, Mindful film that I made, and really what Mindful Films is, it's a nonprofit initiative focused on telling stories of the pivot that happens after a crisis, like a health diagnosis.
Does it have to be after a health diagnosis, or could it be something else, like someone loses their house in a hurricane or things, or do you only focus on health?
No, it's absolutely any life crisis that forces you to kind of, I think, reconcile with yourself about what's really truly important. And at the moment, I'm focusing on health because that's a very personal to me.
Right.
And I've experienced, you know, firsthand kind of that shift that happens. And I really believe that in that darkness and that grief after you experience something unexpected and painful, I really believe strongly that there's wisdom underneath the surface. And if you just kind of take a moment to, like, let go of needing to control everything and just, like, lean into that uncomfortableness, there's so much wisdom underneath the surface about life and what you believe in. And that's really the moment that I want to document for others, that shift.
You know, it's funny because right after I took your class, and by the way, the class was filled with us being able to ask each other questions like strangers we didn't even know, and you were showing us how to get them to open up. Because if you walk up to somebody like, you know, your mother, and all of a sudden go, hey, mom, you know, I want to film this just in case, you know, she's like, well, what do you think? Where do you think I'm going? You know? So you were talking about you could approach someone and get their inner feelings by coming up with a theme like, okay, we're going to just talk about what Christmas means to you, you know, just to kind of get them comfortable with, you know, being on camera. And the other thing too I want to say is that people do want to document things. Now, obviously you do it professionally, but if they wanted to do it, you were teaching us, we could just do it with our cell phones. You don't have to have this very expensive, you know, complicated equipment.
That's right. So I think, you know, in addition, so Mindful Films has several components. I mean, one is certainly making professional short films that hopefully go through a film festival circuit, get shown at cancer centers. I have a lot of big ideas around that.
Yeah.
But there's also there's an educational component. And the class that you're mentioning that you were that you were a guest in is called a Mindful Films Workshop. And what that is I really believe strongly in enabling and teaching others how to document their own stories and really kind of take responsibility for documenting the stories of their family, especially, you know, the kind of oldest generation of your family, whether that's a grandma or a mom or a great aunt or your, you know, even a peer sister. I really wanted to enable people just using their phone, how to document these stories in a thoughtful way that's intentional and long lasting.
And you gave
go ahead.
Sorry.
Again.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And you had given some tips. Like, first of all, I didn't even know it was more important to hold your camera horizontal than vertical. Simple things like that. That somebody who's not familiar with taping, somebody doing it, and, you know, just thinking of the lighting, because you don't want the subject to be in the dark. You want to be able to see their expressions when they say it. And I would imagine, you know, some of the other tips, having them look at you and not the camera?
Yes. Yeah, I think, I really loved offering those tips, Fran, because I think we don't know, and all we're doing is we're just using our camera in this really willy-nilly way, and then we're taking video clips of maybe of our kids or our family, and then they're just, like, sitting on our computer not doing anything. So I want to, like, breathe new life into that. But, yeah, I certainly, a couple tips to just offer your audience is number one, please film, use your phone in a horizontal way. When you shoot vertically on your phone, I know that there's some apps now that have can accommodate that type of filming. But when you shoot horizontally, you get all of the content. When you shoot vertically, you're cutting off the two sides of a full 16:9 frame, which is also what you have on your TV. So if you ever if you figure out how to kind of attach your computer to your TV, you want to see all the content that you've shot.
Yeah, that's beyond my technical skills. I need to do horizontal. Yes.
Yes, so please do horizontal. And then, filming someone, and I've learned this over many years of being as a field producer, it's very intimate, and it's really vulnerable for the subject, because you're asking questions that maybe they haven't even asked themselves often. And so you really want to create a safe space for your subjects, whether it's a stranger that you found that you want to make a film about, or it's like your own mom. You want to be really sensitive to the fact that this is hard. And and that's actually why in the workshop I suggested, sometimes I found a trick that instead of just saying, okay, Ma, what's most important to you?
Right.
What do you regret in your life? Which are kind of pretty loaded questions. If you come up with a theme, kind of a really almost like a reason why you're filming, it's a much easier, it's a much safer entry point. So
it's just selling.
In the workshop.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're saying, oh, you know what? It's around Christmas time. Like, I would love to document everyone in my family telling me about the Christmases when they were 5 or 6 or something like that. That's a great entry point. And if your subject's comfortable enough, then you can head on to some larger, more meta questions.
But right. Like
it's just a good way in.
Right. You had one of the questions, like you had given interview questions that you gave out. And like one of them, for example, was describe your relationship with your parents. So, for example, let's say if it was at Christmas time or holiday time, and you said, what's important to you at Christmas? What traditions did you carry down from your parents? So then you could kind of segue into those questions just to pull more stuff out of them. And the interesting thing, totally unrelated to knowing that I had taken your workshop, my son comes to me and he says, Mom, I want to ask you these questions to get on camera. I go, did you know that I took that class? And he goes, no, I just figured I wanted to document. And I said, are you serious? Did you speak to my guest like before? And so tomorrow he's literally coming to the house. He won't let me know the questions he's asking me. And he's
amazing is that?
And I just thought it was so funny that we're, nothing I believe just happens by accident anyway, but it's just that I'm talking to you today. We're giving tips to my audience. You do this for a living. And then tomorrow he says, Mom, by the way, when I come over, I'm going to be asking you a bunch of questions. So I just thought that was really funny.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, you'll have to pass down some of the tips I told you in the workshop, Fran.
Exactly. I'll hand this to him, Olga. Wait a minute. Just remember to do this before we do it.
And right.
So when is your next workshop? Are you giving another workshop?
There's some in the works right now. I'm planning some for the spring. It was a really great experience having it upstate at the Putnam Valley Library, and I'm hoping to do another one in the spring. And I'm talking to some people here in the city about doing some here in the spring as well. And the other thing that I'm working on that I wanted to mention is I'm in production on a film right now, a mindful film, that I'm currently applying to grants for and seeking funding for. But I think it's going to be a really powerful film, and I'm really excited about it. And it's about a young mom in Brooklyn who's kind of short brush with cancer created this deep gratitude for people in her life, and she started this really inspiring gratitude project where she gets up early each morning and she writes a thank you note to someone in her past, present, or future, and starting to just be this gracious for her life has also led to her wanting to be more authentic about her life, and she's starting to sort of uncover some things about herself that maybe she hadn't faced yet. And so it's a really powerful story of cancer being the seed that kind of inspires, you know, true authenticity to bloom.
And to do that. And what's the name of the film?
It doesn't have a name yet.
It's the unnamed film. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we won't say that, but if, you know, when you want to let people know about it, you know, and people could check out about your progress and just to see, you know, other things that you're doing, or if they have tips or they want to know about your workshops, they would just go to your website, which would be Mindful, MindFuL, one L, mindfulfilms.org. That's one L. And let me just ask you, as we wrap up, what would you say right now is one of the most things that you're grateful for in your life?
I'm grateful to have a tribe of people around me. I'm grateful for the people that supported me in the darkness. And my family and my friends, just they show up and they keep showing up.
You are very lucky.
And I have two kids that, you know, continue to love me despite me being very, very imperfect, and a husband who also loves me when I am trying to be a better person.
Well, you know what? No one's perfect, and everybody just has to know that you got to love the person that they're there, and you got to accept the good and the bad, and hopefully you're with them because they have more good than bad. And so,
exactly.
And that's the thing. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so your kids are probably going, you know, maybe her shirt's not that great, but I love her, you know, so that's the thing.
I have a great support team that, you know, has been with me through the trials and tribulations of a health crisis, and who have really continued to be there for me. So I'm very, very thankful for those people.
And I can hope that they continue to be there. And I look forward to more of your work and finding out about this film that you're doing. Elise, thank you so much for being on the show. And like I said, guys, if you want to check out more and find out what projects she's up to. And look at all the fantastic things she's done already. She's an award winner. So you know what? Check out our stuff. Mindful Films, mindfulfilms.org. Why am I having a problem speaking today? Mindfulfilms.org. Okay, there you go. I said it once without messing it up. Mindful Films. Okay, I'm just trying to repeat it many times so people get it. You know, I'm using the excuse that I can't say it right. Anyway, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Fran. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been listening to Fran's World on Westchester Talk Radio. We're here once a month at the City Center. Check out the website. And if you want to check out what I am personally doing, you can go to FranCapo.com and you'll find out where I'm doing shows. And like I said, I'm doing a show out at East Islip, raising money for the firehouse out there tomorrow night. Come out live. Say, hey, I heard you on Fran's World on Westchester Talk Radio. Create a good day.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course. production and placement of radio campaigns on the Peak and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark Creative.